Today is the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Balaram. It is explained that Krishna, he is Adi Purusha, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. All other forms that exist of the Supreme Lord, which are many, why would the Lord have only one form? Logically speaking, he would not be limited. If I was God, I wouldn't just be here today. I would be everywhere. And why would I come only in one form? I would rather come in many forms. Why not? Why be limited? So if I was the Supreme Lord, I would take different forms. Sometimes I would appear like a dwarf, very small, so that everyone would think, oh, he is very simple. But very beautiful at the same time. To trick people. The Lord comes for different purposes, and each incarnation of the Lord has a particular purpose. So it is said that the forms of Lord Balaram, the forms of Mohini, and the forms of Vamanadev, they are standing out for their beauty. It says in those forms the Lord is showing extraordinary beauty. The beauty of Lord Balaram is in his mood of service. The beauty of the Lord is not skin deep, it is not external. The beauty of the Lord is his whole being. And Balaram, in particular, is known as Bhagawan, but he's known as Sevak Bhagawan. And Krishna is known as Sevya Bhagawan. Sevya means the one who is served, and Sevak means the one who is serving. So in this way, we are seeing how Krishna is being served by an immediate expansion of himself. And it said in that service, Lord Balaram experiences the greatest pleasure. That is why he is Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. Because he must teach happiness, otherwise what's the point? We are not teaching philosophy. We are not teaching yoga per se. We are teaching about happiness. I mean, otherwise it's not complete. Whatever lacks in happiness is not sufficient. It will not fulfill the heart, no matter how beautiful it is. I was just talking to someone and showing them pictures of some of the palaces in Rajasthan. And the palaces in Rajasthan, they are made by devotees. And it shows, because there is a lot of bhakti in these palaces. And because everything has been made by so much devotion. You see, for example, a little in the wall, there is a stone cow's head, and then some water is coming out from there, and you can drink from there. It is nice. It is sort of devotional. Everything about it, because it's been made by devotees. So that architecture is beautiful. Then if you go, I was in New York a few weeks ago, and I saw skyscrapers, and some of them were also beautiful, made of steel, glass, stone, some light, some water, some waterfalls and things, and it was beautiful, but it was cold and beautiful. Whereas this beautiful buildings with devotion, they are very warm. One can see the love of the ones who have made, not just an artistic sense, but there is some love behind it. This is what we see in Lord Balaram. He is the Adi Guru. He is serving out of pure love. That's why his name is Balaram. Bala means strength, and Ram means Ramanti Yogino Nante Satchananitsitatmani Iti Rama Padena Su Param Brahma Idiyate. It speaks about Param Brahma, about transcendental happiness. So this unlimited yogino nante anante, this unlimited transcendental happiness is what Balaram is experiencing. And that's why he's strong. Because when you have unlimited happiness, what can touch you? Nothing. What can distract you when you're filled with love and filled with happiness? Nothing. It's when there's emptiness that we're always hungry, always looking, and still unfulfilled. That is the nature. So in this way, we appreciate Lord Balaram as the original spiritual master who is deeply absorbed in loving service. And that is the true spirit of the day. The spirit of the day is to please Krishna. Therefore, practically in all the pastimes that one finds in relation to Lord Balaram, one finds that practically in all these pastimes, Lord Balaram is playing an assisting role, a supporting role to Krishna, because he's always serving Krishna. Rarely is Balaram performing some pastimes alone. He is doing some pastimes alone to also show that he is the full Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. It's said Krishna expands himself in unlimited forms. He himself is Swayam Rupa, the original form. And Balaram is another form of himself. He has the same potency as Krishna, not any less. Balaram then is the origin of many other avatars. It is Balaram who is the origin of all the avatars. Any avatar that we see in the past times of the Lord, they all are expanding from Balaram. So he is the origin of the avatars. He is avatari. In this way, we're looking at Lord Balaram. In the Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a description of various demons that have been killed by Krishna and also some demons that were killed by Balaram. And he explained that each of the demons were representing some particular mood. For example, he said Agasura. He was a powerful mystic yogi and he wanted to kill Krishna. So he came in the form of a huge snake. And why was it so? Because Agasura was cold-blooded. For Agasura, living beings were like utensils. There was no feeling in his heart. Nothing whatsoever. So in this way, Agasura was standing for that cold-blooded mentality. Putana, she was acting like a mother, but she betrayed an innocent child by putting poison. Just as the child was about to take shelter, she put poison. Putana, therefore, is known as the false guru. The mother is the first guru. So Putana, being the false guru, is it's okay. One second. Something. Just a moment. I'm freezing. So, no, I don't want white. It's all right. It's good. Sit down. Sit. But Betoyar. If the first diet saffron, then I will borrow. So, different demons are representing different qualities like that. And it says that the demons that were all these demons that attack, we need Krishna's protection to overcome these prototypes, or worse, the demon within us. So many of these demonic tendencies are also into us. We are also a little bit hard-hearted, a little bit insensitive towards others, not caring, a little bit cruel, like there's a little agasura in us also. Or maybe even a little putana. Or, you know, kamsa, whatever. There are so many varieties within us. And so to overcome these qualities, we turn to Krishna. But then there are demons that are killed by Balaram. One of them was Pralambasura. Pralambasura was the typical muscle man, you know, a macho type, you know, interested in showing off his muscles and sex, right? That was mainly his thing, and sort of not looking if his sexual advances were wanted or not. He himself, he was simply ready to take whatever came his way. A demon, after all. Yeah. So, it is interesting that he entered into the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram when they were playing with the cowherd boys, and Pralambasura took that form of a cowherd boy. Krishna saw it straight away. So Krishna arranged it that they were having two groups and competing with each other, and the losers had to carry the winners. So Balaram's party was winning and Pralambasura was in the losing party, so he had to carry Balaram. So he thought that that was a good idea, because he thought, of the two, Krishna has killed so many demons, I better kill Balaram. I better go for him first, you know, because Krishna's tricky. But Balaram, I can, you know, I'll fix him. So he was running away with Balaram on his shoulders. But as he was carrying Balaram, Balaram became extremely heavy. And as a result, he pushed down the weight or so much on the shoulders of Pralambasura that he could no longer maintain the disguise as a cowherd boy. And he took his original form. So then, when Balaram saw that he was suddenly riding on a huge demon with red hair and so on, he just hit him on the head with his fist, and it cracked the head open of the demon, and that was it. Katam hogya. Finished. So anyway, at that time, Balaram killed Pralambasura. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the demons that are killed by Balaram, those anartas, those impurities, we have to overcome ourselves. So that is interesting. So this macho tendency, you know, we have to rise above it ourselves. We have to give that up on our own. It's not that Krishna will take that away. That's interesting. Yeah. Then there's Dainakasura. The story is that there was that tall forest with delicious fruits, and the cowherd boys were walking past, and it smelled only too good. Oh my God. So sweet, so sweet, so good, so good. But there was a whole herd of voracious, flesh-eating asses. Yeah? With vampire teeth, right? And these flesh-eating asses, they were like running around in this forest and guarding it and wouldn't allow anyone to come near the fruit trees. Ooh, that smelled so sweet, so sweet, so sweet. So the cowherd boys had a great desire. So they went into the forest and wanted to taste some of that fruit. And Balaram went there with the cowherd boys, and Krishna followed. And Balaram was shaking some of the trees, and many of the tall fruits fell down, and the cowherd boys were collecting them, tasting them. The tall fruits are coming from the tall palms. There's a palm tree which has sweet fruits. I guess in Austria they may not grow such fruit trees, but in Vrindavan, they were growing, and very sweet fruit. Anyway, so then the asses, they heard this the noise, so they came running, and it was then Balaram who was attacked by Dhenakasura.
Dope. They smoke dope outside.
I'm used to it. I'm from Amsterdam. We don't close our windows for that. How do you know how it smells?
Indoor, wide window.
Someone from behind talking.
Nice. One of the brahmacharis. It can bring up the quality of the lecture.
Speaking about smell, so...
No, we're getting to that. Okay. So anyway, Dhenakasura... Dhenakasura, he was representing the anartha of just being a gross materialist, of just being someone who could not see anything beyond what you can see with your eyes and what you can verify and simply what you can measure, you know what I mean? And if you can't measure it, you know what I mean, then it's just rubbish, you know, rubbish. I mean, hogwash, as they call that, you know, illusion, you know, I mean. So in this way, anyway, Balaram, Dhenakasura tried to kick Balaram on the chest, didn't do much. Balaram grabbed his hind legs, swung him around and threw him in the trees, and then that knocked over many trees. Then all the other asses also attacked, and then Krishna and Balaram threw all the asses in different trees, and quite a few trees fell over. And one might think that the cowherd boys would be very sad that they didn't get the fruit, but it wasn't. They were very happy to see those asses flying through the sky and so on. It was very exciting. So they were happy. They were not really interested in the fruit. They were interested in the pastime. So again, this tendency, this blunt material state of consciousness, we have to rise above it ourselves. If we want to be mudas, dull, and in German abgestumpft, yeah, if we want to be abgestumpft or dull, yeah, the English word is doesn't make it dull, abgestumpft. That's a lot better. Anyway, that's what they were. So many people, they become like that. They get this kind of small-mindedness and conditioned like this. And so one has to step out of that. One has to voluntarily be ready to be open for the miracle. Yeah. There are so many miracles in the world.
Nonsense, yeah, miracles. Ivans, have you seen miracles? I mean, I don't believe in miracles. It's just nonsense, miracles.
No, it's all a miracle. The whole thing is a miracle. We see miracles every day. We're just so abgestumpft that we don't see it anymore, that there are miracles.
It's the way it is. It's just normal.
That's what I'm talking about. So one must, like a child, it says in the Bible, that one must be like a child. Have that innocence again to experience a miracle. Not that we have sort of in our mind explained everything and now there's nothing to ask anymore and therefore everything is, this is what Dhenakasura is representing. So yes, such mudas, it will be difficult for them to approach Krishna.
Abhidhanati, they will not know me. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they will not know me. So they think that I've taken a human form. Whereas Krishna never has a human form. Krishna is always the supreme, transcendental Lord, even when he's in this material world. So in this way we are looking at Balaram and we're looking at these different anarthas. Now there are different smells have just entered through the window and they're still here, kind of. And Parameshwar has made us attentive to that. Now that these smells have come, we can remember being intoxicated because Balaram is quite well known for being intoxicated. Not for smoking things, but Balaram rather is known for drinking things. Fermented honey. Fermented honey is quite strong, and Balaram is known to have been drinking quite a bit of honey on different occasions. It said on one occasion, after Kamsa had been killed, after Krishna and Balaram came into the wrestling arena, and after Krishna fought with that elephant, that huge monster of an elephant, and came running at Krishna, and Krishna tripped the elephant, just held his foot out, and bang, the elephant tripped, and then they broke off the tusks, and Krishna and Balaram walked into the wrestling arena, each holding a tusk of an elephant, few drops of blood still dripping from them. Big wrestlers were there, monsters of characters. And Kamsa had arranged for a wrestling match. And people said it wasn't a fair match. But Kamsa said, well, they've just been fighting with an elephant, so, you know, it's fair. Then there was that wrestling match. And it wasn't fair. And all people were watching it and they thought, this is not fair. How can there be a match like this where boys are fighting with huge wrestlers? Of course, they were not ordinary boys. So Krishna and Balaram were fighting with Chanura and Mustika. And they hit them, they grabbed them, threw them on the ground, kicked them, and at one point they hit them on the head. And the eyes of Chanura and Mustika popped out of the sockets and were dangling like that. So they were certainly powerful when it came to wrestling with such demons. And then, subsequently, Krishna and Balaram. Krishna then jumped on the raised platform, and he killed Kamsa. It says that later, then Jarasandha, who was the father-in-law of Kamsa, he came with huge army to punish Krishna and Balaram. They attacked Mathura, and it became a big thing. Krishna and Balaram defeated that army. Anyway, Jarasandha came 17 times with a huge army. So after 17 times, it was getting a bit much, you know. So Krishna and Balaram, they left the battlefield. Krishna left the battlefield. And then they decided, they met Parashuram, who told them to hide on a mountain. So that mountain was in a different yuga. It was 80 kilometers high. So Krishna and Balaram climbed on that mountain. And in the Harivamsa, which is also a supplement to the Mahabharata, there it is described that Krishna and Balaram climbed high on the mountain. Then Jarasandha and Shishupal came. And Shishupal suggested, why don't we set fire to this mountain? So Jarasandha said, great idea, fantastic, brilliant. And they put a lot of wood at the base of the mountain. And they were ready to put a fire to the mountain. So they set it on fire. But then it created so much heat that the rock cracked
and water came out of the mountain, but that water was hot, it became steam due to the fire. And as a result, the steam blew many stones off the mountain, and those stones killed many soldiers of the army of Jerusalem. So in this way it happened. Meanwhile, Krishna and Balaram were high up the mountain, high up the mountain. The story goes that at one point they jumped off the mountain. And some people say they jumped off the mountain because of the fire. But Harivamsa says that it wasn't because of the fire. It said that up on the mountain there were orchards with many beehives and there was lots of honey. And that Balaram, you know, sort of went for it and drank that honey. And Balaram became completely drunk. And then said to Krishna, look, look what I'm doing. And then he just jumped off the mountain. So then Krishna didn't want to stay behind. And sort of, he also jumped off the mountain. So Balaram landed first. And he landed in the middle of the army of Jarasandha. And then in his hands he manifested both the club and the plow. And with both of these weapons he mowed down a good portion of the army. And then moments later Krishna came down and he knocked over also all the soldiers. And then they went to Prabhas Kshetra where they made a city in the ocean, Dwarka, and so on. Anyway, not everyone likes these fighting pastimes. But it also shows that to be a pacifist is not completely the solution to everything. There are sometimes there are demoniac forces, and when the Supreme Lord kills them, it's okay. It's a good thing, because whoever gets killed by the Supreme Lord gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So in that way, one shouldn't see this as negative. No. Yeah, so we are speaking about Balaram and the pastimes of Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna. They appear so human, right? I mean, you know, are we speaking about the Supreme Lord and he is drinking honey, I mean, wine, honey wine or something like that? I mean, isn't that a little bit sweet stories, children bedtime stories, like once I was in a university and after the program the chairman of the student society came to me and he said, that was damn good old chap, now tell me one thing, do you really believe in all of that? So one might on such an evening think like, do you really believe in all of that? And then we say, well, let's look for a moment. There are so many forms of the Supreme Lord, why only one? And yes, there is an all-pervading, all-powerful form, but that one is hard to relate to. God the Almighty, God the All-Knowing, God omnipotent, omniscient, and what's the third one? Oh gosh, blank. Benevolent, omnibenevolent, thank you, whoever said it. Okay. Why are they looking at these, at Krishna and Balaram who are playing, who are fighting with demons, who are getting drunk and jumping off mountains and such stories? It is because in these forms the Supreme Lord appears most human. And when the Lord appears most human, then he's the closest to our heart. then he's the closest to our heart. And ultimately, that is the essence of the relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we are worshipping all features of the Supreme Lord. We are worshipping the Almighty. We are worshipping the Omniscient, the Omnibenevolent. We are worshipping all these forms. But we are especially worshipping the most human manifestations of the Lord, because those are the easiest to relate to. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, there is an extraordinary moment on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. At that time, Arjuna is standing with Krishna, and Arjuna asks Krishna to reveal himself, really, that he is God. At that time, Krishna is showing his universal form, and he shows that all features of the universe are just manifesting from him. And he shows himself as an enormous form with many faces, and he shows himself as time. And as time, he shows himself as the destroyer of worlds. And when Arjuna sees all that, it's just like too much for him. And Arjuna subsequently says, please take your original form. And then Krishna first takes a four-handed form, and then he takes a two-handed form. The four-handed form is there, he took that because in the Vedic literature, Narayan is described as four-handed. So to make sure that everyone understands, yes, he is Narayan, he also showed a four-handed form. But in his original form, two-handed. Then he's back into his human form, in that form where one can relate to him. Therefore, the meaning of Krishna is all attractive. It means the one that we can relate to, the one that plays with our heart. That's the whole idea. See, otherwise, see, if you have to be religious, if you have to be religious and you have to be on your knees for the Lord Almighty, for the Lord who is all good, and for the Lord who is all knowing, then we see that many people don't want to do it anymore. They've done it for generations, but nowadays, houses of worship are emptying out. Many are on the market and are being sold. What can be said? Because that is not worship out of being attracted. That kind of worship is out of fear. Oh yes, you better go on your knees because you want your child to be healthy. Oh yes, you better go on your knees because you need some money, because it's the money. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Please fix my bank balance. If you can, would be good. It's okay, good idea. Why not? Yeah. So, but one should actually approach the Lord by being purely attracted to Him. In the worship of Krishna, one is not asking for anything else. The worship of Krishna itself is the reward. Here comes your kadam. So the worship of Krishna doesn't give us anything else. You don't worship Krishna to become rich, you don't worship Krishna to protect your children, you don't worship Krishna to get a bigger house, you don't worship Krishna to get anything else. We just, one worships Krishna because it's the most wonderful thing you could do. There's nothing greater. It is the most wonderful thing you could do, and that's why. And that's why in worshipping Krishna we ask for more. Can I do more? In this way we remember that story of the thief who heard about Krishna, and Krishna was described as wearing many jewels. So the thief was thinking, hey, that sounds... A thief, by nature, is looking for the one steal where he's made it for life. That's... Every thief is dreaming of that. You know, the one catch where I've made it for life. So when the thief heard the description of Krishna, and he heard about all the jewels that Krishna was wearing, in his mind, as out of a professional reflex, he was counting the cash, you know, ping, ping, ping. He thought, whoa, this guy is worth a fortune. So he heard about him, he said, where can I find this Krishna? They said, oh, he's somewhere around Govardhan. Oh, well, how do I find him? He said, oh, you just walk around Govardhan, then you will find him. So the thief was walking around Govardhan, looking everywhere to find Krishna. And one day he saw him. There was no doubt about it. Jewels everywhere. So he goes up to Krishna and he says, hey, give me those jewels. Give me those jewels. And Krishna says, no, I can't do that. Mother Yasoda will get very upset. He said, look, mate, don't mess with me. Give me those jewels. So Krishna gave him the jewels. So then he had the jewels. And then, as he stood there with those jewels, that what he had been dreaming of his whole life, which he thought he would never get, suddenly he had it. He had made it. And then in his mind came, and now what? I got the impossible dream, now what? And then he took those jewels and he stood there and he said, and he saw Krishna. And then he suddenly became attracted and said, could I decorate you with these jewels? And Krishna said, well, if you like, you know. And then the thief just decorated Krishna with the jewels. Because once you've got the jewels, that's the best thing you can do with your jewels. What else are you going to do with your jewels? That is the trick. So when we serve Krishna, that night Krishna came home and Mother Yasoda said, like, who put all these jewels like that? I didn't do that. Oh, my devotee. Who is the thief? Huh? Krishna is the ultimate thief. That thief didn't know. Krishna steals away everything. He steals the eyes. He steals our ears. Yes, he plays his flute and you cannot hear anything else anymore. You see Krishna, you cannot look at anything else anymore. Krishna steals all your senses. Yes. In this way, this is why we are enjoying to listen to pastimes about Krishna and Balaram. They are personal pastimes because they are so human, but also superhuman, because they drink, you know, and then, or at least Balaram drank, and then he jumps off an 80-kilometer mountain, a different era, fine, 80-kilometer mountain. I mean, you know, what's going to be left of you when you land? In cartoons, you sometimes see someone fall down the mountain. And then there's a big hole in the ground, and then they climb back out, sort of, a little flat. But nothing like that, right? They just landed nicely, and no problem at all. And just fixed Jarasandha's army. So, in this way, always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but yet engaged in human activities. And this is what they do originally. It's not just that they take this human form to entertain the human beings. It's not like that. One might think, well, God in his original form is the all-pervading, the omniscient, and so on. But then, to become more accessible to human beings, he appears in the form of an incarnation, and then he does these human-like pastimes to capture people. Some people think like that. But no, in these forms, these human-like forms, the Supreme Lord is eternally performing pastimes. And these pastimes are the most wonderful. These are the most. They capture the heart the most. Therefore, in Golok Vrindavan, where these pastimes go on eternally, there Krishna and his devotees are experiencing ecstatic pastimes. Last night we remembered that even in the spiritual world, sometimes demons come. Sometimes. Like it said that Kaliya had come back, poisonous snake. But this time, Krishna and Balaram, they caught a snake and they put a rope through the different noses and then controlled it with the reins of the ropes they were holding. And then with the coward boys, they got onto the snake and were racing across the Yamuna up and down on Kaliya. So in this way, what can we say? Eternally, playful pastimes are going on. Some might think, this is not for me. This is too childish. No, it's not. Behind it all, there is a deep, deep theology. So one must first read that theology. And first understand that. First understand the all-pervading form. And then gradually begin to understand the personal feature of the Lord. Anyway, this is Balaram's appearance day. Krishna's transcendental elder brother. And on this day, we are blessed. Because Balaram is the giver of spiritual strengths. Balaram is carrying the plow and Krishna the flute. So it is said that the plow is used for preparing the field. First you plow the field, then you can plant things in the field. So Balaram is plowing the field of the heart. So Balaram takes out the impurities of the heart. We have all so many impurities. So these impurities we can overcome by serving, just like Balaram is doing, by devotional service. Then that plow will take out all the anartas, all the impurities from the heart. Then we can serve Krishna fully. So like this, and then we can appreciate Krishna's flute playing. Then we can become attracted to Krishna's pastimes. So, first, let us try and do some service. In the world, you can, if you pay for it, you can get servants. I read that, like, if you fly on the most luxurious class in the airline, then you get a personal butler. You get a personal servant. Yeah? And of course you have to pay top dollar for that. You have to really pay like anything. But then you get like a personal servant. Because in this world, nobody serves without being paid. Yes, boss. Good morning, boss. Haha, boss. That was very funny, boss. Of course, boss. I know it's getting serious now, boss. Yes, of course. Yes, we are very serious, boss. Yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss, as long as you pay, boss. As long as you pay, I will serve. So this is the material way of serving. So since when? Whenever in our life have we served without getting anything, without asking for anything, let us learn in this way. This is what Balaram is teaching. Let us serve Krishna without asking anything. And by doing so, something changes in us. By doing so, we become purified from this self-centeredness. Yesterday I spoke about that, the me consciousness. I and mine. Yes. Yes, yes. And then, by this service, gradually we become ready to appreciate Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Balaram, his younger brother. Any questions? Any comments?
Question, it's a little bit interesting, but maybe you can see something to it. You explained that Narayan has four arms, and the question is if it's maybe something described in the scripture or from past acharyas, why it is so, why Krishna has some close to four arms?
Okay, the question is that I described that Narayan has four arms, and if I know any reference in the scripture why Narayan has four arms, no, I don't. I don't know why. I just know it's described that he has four arms. That is described everywhere. But the why question in relation to the Supreme Lord is maybe a little he is what he is. He manifests himself the way he manifests himself. It's his choice, it's his plan. One could maybe give some explanation why, but it would certainly be not complete. You know? Even if someone would give an explanation why, one of the acharyas, it would be true, but there would be more to it. Because there are unlimited reasons why the Lord is manifesting himself the way it is. So one can never understand fully why Krishna is, or the Lord is doing things the way he does them. It's his choice, because he is the ultimate Supreme Lord. But some acharyas may have said something. Can research it. Like Sarartha Darshini commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, it's one of the first places I would look for it if I would research it. Yes, Sanjay.
Some demons are killed by Krishna.
Yeah.
Some demons are killed by Balaram. And those qualities.
And those?
Those qualities that those demons killed by Balaram stand for, we have to overcome ourselves.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's mercy if we overcome it. So what is the difference in that situation?
No, it's not just mercy. We have to make an endeavor. At the other qualities, we also have to make an endeavor, but we also depend on Krishna's mercy to overcome these anarthas. So these kind of anarthas, they are being purified in the process of devotional service. But the other anarthas are like, just like when we come to devotional service, then we are asked to give up for illicit activities. No? No meat, fish, eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Now, you can do some service when you are still not following these principles, but you cannot go very far. So we have to do that. We have to voluntarily do that. So that's basically the point. So with these anarthas of Balaram, these are within these, it's basically putting the four regulative principles in place. And when once you put those in place, then the other anarthas will be purified in devotional service. As I see it like that.
You spoke about Vrindavan in the spiritual world, that there are demons there also.
I spoke about Vrindavan in the spiritual world and that there are demons there also.
And one of my god sisters told me that for sure I am this form in the spiritual world. And it's the question, will we come? Also, is it possible to go back to Godhead into a demon form?
Is it possible to go back into a demon form? That you and your original Swarup are a demon? No, I don't think so. I think these are pastime forms that are manifesting. I don't think these are jivas that are manifesting. These are just pastime forms manifesting. No. No. Yeah.
In the relation of service.
Coming next. You're the next. Loud?
In the
relation of service.
Is there some in which mood we should do the service?
In which mood should we do the service? In the mood of a servant. No, I mean, in the mood of a servant means not begrudging, you know, like, oh my God, I got to do this service, you know, it's always me, what a drag, you know, oh God, me again, every time, I've got to do it, you know. It's not fair, is there nobody else to do it, not like that. No, in the mood of a servant, oh, how nice, grateful. How nice that I can do this service. I'm so fortunate. Let me do the best I can in that mood. The same mood as Bhana, who serves full of love, remember? That's at the beginning. There was a hand over there. Yes.
How do you understand Lord Balaram's Rasa Leela, and who are those gopis that are accompanying that Rasa Leela?
Okay, bringing up. The private stuff, huh? well, that is another, it is to show that Balaram, although he's acting as the servant, that at the same time he is the full Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that because Krishna has his Rasa-lila, so Balaram also has his Rasa-lila, to show that he is also the same Supreme Lord as Krishna. And of course those gopis are different gopis than the gopis of Krishna, because he could not enjoy with Krishna's gopis. That's enough about gopis for today. My quota is used up. Yes?
I was just wondering about the relation,
the relationship between Lord Nityananda and Balaram. Nityananda Balaram. Well, Mother Sachi, she had a dream, and Mother Sachi is a very divine personality. She had a dream, and Krishna and Balaram were on her altar at home. And she was making an offering to Krishna and Balaram, put it on the altar. And then her son Nimai and Nitai, they came. And they start fighting with Krishna and Balaram over the altar. On the altar, over the offering. And especially Nityananda and Balaram. And it became a terrible fight. And in the end, Nitai was just yelling at Balaram and said, get out of here. This is our yuga. The offering is ours. Right? So it can get rough between Nityananda and Balaram sometimes. But at the same time, there's no difference between Nityananda and Balaram. Balaram Horanitai. He is. Balaram and Nityananda are the same. Now, 5,000 years ago, Balaram appeared along with Krishna. 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a golden avatar, golden form of Krishna, and Balaram appeared as Nityananda. Now Balaram is especially ecstatic. He's still serving Krishna all the time, Lord Chaitanya, but now their mission is to freely give love of God to everyone. So in the form of Nityananda, Balaram is just giving to anyone. He's completely intoxicated in the ecstasy of serving Krishna. And because he's drunk in serving Krishna, not drunk from honey, but drunk from service, it's so intoxicating, the service, he can no longer see who's qualified to get the mercy or not, and therefore he gives it to anyone and everyone, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. That's Nityananda. Yes, so that element is there. The Nityananda element. Okay, other question? Otherwise in the back there will be prasada already. Yeah.
How can we get the attention of Lord Nityananda?
How can we get the attention of Lord Nityananda? By serving Krishna. And serving Chaitanya especially. Krishna Chaitanya. Take up the mission of Krishna Chaitanya. Even when you're pujari, you should always think, how do I give the mercy to us? You're not just there alone with the deity, no. You always should be thinking, how can I connect people to the deity? That spirit you have to have as a pujari. He wants to be a pujari. Okay. Yeah.
Is there also a link between Lord Balaram and Lord Shiva?
And who?
Lord Shiva.
Oh, Lord Shiva.
Because he drinks the poison of the ocean.
Yes. Well, we see that from Lord Balaram comes Sankarshan. And actually, then different forms are expanding, Narayan, Mahavishnu, and from Mahavishnu expands Sadashiva. And Sadashiva is worshipping Sankarshan. So Sadashiva is on the spiritual side, he's always worshipping Sankarshan. So there is a relationship between the two, an intimate relationship. Yeah. That's as close as it gets by my knowledge. Okay, I mean, Prabhupada would always begin with kirtan and end with kirtan. It won't be very long now, it will be only 5 minutes.